It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, you can enjoy Chef Norman Van Akins's A Word on Food and be informed by our Broward Arts Calendar featuring Jody Horn-Leschinski. Over a year before the premier Woodstock Festival catapulted itself upon the collective American consciousness, its guitar legend, Jimi Hendrix, was launching his incendiary talents from a flatbed truck at Gulfstream Racetrack in Hallandale. Here's Bob Weinberg to elaborate.
Now you know you are a cute little heartbreaker.
In between his guitar-igniting introduction to mainstream audiences at Monterey and his explosive wake-up call on the final day of Woodstock, Jimi Hendrix made a stop in South Florida to play the inaugural Miami Pop Fest. Held at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale in May 1968, the two-day event was the brainchild of Michael Lang, who operated a head shop in Coconut Grove, and famed dolphin trainer turned animal rights activist Rick O'Barry. Lang would, of course, achieve full-blown rock icon status, as would Hendrix, during the following summer's blowout at Yasgur's Farm. While Hendrix's Miami Pop Fest performances had been available on bootleg recordings and were rumored to be among his best, only now have they been officially released on CD. Late last year, Experience Hendrix and Legacy Records released the 11-song Miami Pop Festival album, comprising 9 performances from the psychedelic blues band's afternoon concert at the Gulfstream Racetrack and 2 from the evening's concert. Tightly focused but hardly constrained, the Hendrix Experience, Jimmy, bassist Noel Redding, and drummer Mitch Mitchell, work out on a feedback-drenched set of power trio blues rock, taking most of the songs from their self-titled debut recording. The trio also offers nascent renditions of the slow burner Hear My Train A-Comin' and the instrumental Tax Free. Although they were booked to play the second day of the festival as well, torrential rains prevented them from doing so. According to sound engineer Eddie Kramer, who recorded the Gulfstream shows, Hendrix wrote the song Rain Day Dream Away in the car on the way back to the Castaways Hotel. The Miami Pop Fest CD makes a fitting companion to a new documentary, also titled Hear My Train A-Comin'. The film aired on PBS in November and is now available on DVD. Directed by rock documentarian Bob Smeaton, whose resume lists titles about The Who, Pink Floyd, and Mark Knopfler, as well as the 2003 film Festival Express, Hear My Train includes never-released footage of Miami Pop, some of which was shot by bassist Redding, who carried a handheld camera. Interviews with Lang, Kramer, and others add insight, as does the footage of the concrete condos of Hallandale and the young audience who filled the track and the stands of Gulfstream Park to hear one of the hottest acts on the festival circuit. We recently spoke with Smeaton at the WLRN studios.
Here I come, baby. Coming to get you.
Bob Smeaton, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Good to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. The documentary, Hear My Train A-Comin', was that specifically made for public broadcasting?
We actually started making a documentary, and we thought, you know, we would make it and we'd put it out on DVD. And then I think I've been working on the project for about 6 months, and John McDermott, who works for the Hendrix Estate, said, look, you know, PBS are showing an interest, and it's now going to be like an American Masters film. And I thought, great, because, you know, it's a great strand, and I watched the Dylan film, and I watched The Doors, so it was great, you know, just to be part of that whole thing. But, you know, I think that once that those guys came on board, they had, you know, their thoughts, and they would say, you know, why not have more of this and more of that? So, you know, like, it wasn't all plain sailing, but I think that, you know, we'll meet a good film in the end, which was the most important thing.
Oh, yes. And as I understand it, didn't you originally conceive of this as perhaps to showcase the footage from the Miami Pop Festival and perhaps do a documentary specifically on that event?
Yeah, that's right. I caught up with John McDermott, who works for the estate, as I was saying earlier. And John, I met up with him in New York about 3 years ago. And, you know, John and I, you know, John's a massive Hendrix fan. And, you know, I've worked on a number of Hendrix projects in the
yes.
past with John, you know. And John said, I've got some footage which you've got to see. I said, what is it? Because John, you know, he showed me like 5 seconds of Hendrix stuff, which I hadn't seen before. And I would say, yeah, John, it's great, 5 seconds. So John gets his laptop out and he says, you're not going to believe this. I says, show me it. So, you know, he clicked play on his laptop and there was Hendrix at the Miami Pop Festival in 1968 in color in the daytime. playing Foxy Lady, and it was just, I said, John, this is fantastic. I says, you know, it sounds good on the laptop. You know, what's the audio like? And John said, you know, it was recorded by Eddie Kramer at the time.
Yes.
So I think Eddie recorded it on maybe on 8-track. So he says, you know, and Kramer's mixed the soundtrack, and it sounds fantastic. So John said, look, you know, what we should do is, you know, make a documentary based around that concert. And I said to John, well, look, you know, show me and the rest of the material. So he showed me, you know, the rest of the material. So I think in total there was about, of Hendrix playing on stage, maybe 15 minutes or so. And I said, John, you know, there's not enough there to sustain a 90-minute film. He says, oh, right, okay, so how about that we do something from when Hendrix arrived in the UK in 1966 up to the Miami Pop Festival? And I said, yeah, that'll make sense, you know, because he'd have his early days in London,
sure.
And then, you know, he plays at Monterey in 67, and then, you know, culminating with the Miami Pop Festival in 1968, and that's what we started making. But then when PBS got involved, they said, look, you know, these films generally, you know, with somebody such as Hendrix, we would take, you know, we would like the story for it to be from his birth up to his death. So that's what we started making then. So it meant that, you know, we had to go back and reshoot
sure.
some interviews and get some extra material there. But it was, you know, it was great to sort of do something like this, which told the whole story of Hendrix from birth up to death, which focused on him as a guitar player and a musician rather than, you know, there's been a bunch of documentaries, you know, which have been made in the past which focused on, you know, the less sort of musical side of the guy. But we
yes.
wanted to keep the focus mainly on him and what he achieved in those short years, you know, 27 years. And the guy was just brilliant and great player.
Pretty extraordinary. And
yeah.
These performances at Gulfstream Race Park in Hallandale back in 1968, they've lived on in the imagination of many of us who live here, you know, and pass this, as I do, just about every day, Gulfstream. But, you know, and some of it had been available on bootleg, but we had never actually gotten to see it in full color. Now, the footage that you used, was this taken from news footage at the time?
No, I think what happened was, I think Hendrix's manager, you know, had knew Hendrix had this gig, and, you know, I think even then, because I think with Hendrix, he didn't do any TV shows in the States, so you couldn't see Hendrix on the TV, like, you
right.
know, you couldn't get on the Ed Sullivan Show, etc. So I think Hendrix's team thought, you know, he's playing at this concert, why don't we film it? So I think they filmed it with 3 cameras. And then it got lost, and then, you know, it came out on bootleg, which didn't look that great. And I think then, I think that someone got in touch with John McDermott and said, look, you know, we've got the footage here. So John went and looked at it, and I'm sure that there was some sort of deal done, and we spoke to Michael Lang that had organized
oh, yes.
the sort of festival. And, you know, Michael said, I didn't realize that they even had cameras there, you know. So it was like, it was very surreptitious, but, you know, I'm so pleased because it looks, you know, I think the great thing is that, you know, when Hendrix played at Monterey in 1967, that part of California was very much up on the counterculture. You know,
yes.
people were into the whole Summer of Love thing. But when
yes.
Hendrix played at Miami in 68, it, you know, you said, hey, the crowd of kids there, you know, it's like a very much a white college audience. You
yes.
know, the kids have got their shorts on and their T-shirts, even though, you know, the clouds opened and there was, you know, the seeded, you know, because it hadn't
yes.
rained for weeks or something, so the seeded the clouds, which they could do in America, but don't do that in the UK. And
right.
the
they don't need
day,
to, do
the
they?
Festival, it
yeah.
was just a downpour, you know, and the festival was washed out.
The second
but it
day.
It was just great
yeah.
to see it, you know.
The second day was of course, washed out, and that's when we get Hendrix's famous Rainy Day Dream Away, which was written in the car on the way back to the
yeah, exactly.
Guestaways
well,
Hotel.
Eddie Kramer had said, he'd said that, you know, Hendrix was upset that, you know, he couldn't play the second
yeah.
day. But, you know, you couldn't play in that rain because, it, you know, like you say, the footage, and it's like, you know, I think it's a couple of flatbed trucks. And,
yes.
you know, there's amplifiers and there's wires all over the place, and it wouldn't be safe playing on stage. So Hendrix, like, in the back of the car, Kramer said that when he was sat there, so he looked over his shoulder, so he's sketching down on his notepad. Because, you know, Hendrix was writing,
yes.
you know, writing lyrics all the time, and he was writing Rainy Day, Dream Away, and there's the footage. I mean, the film of, you know, that was his footage of the car trip, and you see outside,
oh,
and
yes.
he's driving through Florida, and the rain's coming down. It's a washout, you know. So was just blessed that, you know, that we had
sure.
that footage, because it looked great, and it really added to the whole feeling of, you know, the first day. It was typical, you know, sunshine in Florida, and everyone sat there in their deck chairs and enjoying
yes.
the sunshine. Hendrix is playing great. The next day, it's washout. That's what happens in Florida.
That's indeed true. But it was fascinating also to see that audience in 1968 down here in South Florida. As you mentioned, the counterculture, I guess, was just starting to take root here, and they were becoming aware of Jimmy from, obviously, the Monterey Pop was his big breakthrough. But it was interesting just to see the crowd and the reaction. They obviously were engaged, but it didn't seem like they were wildly enthusiastic as maybe they would have been post-Woodstock.
Yeah, well, I think that was the thing. I think, you know, it was like, you know, has had a great lineup. I think, you know, Frank Zappa played in a bunch of other bands.
Yes.
And it was, you know, with Hendrix was this, you know, who was this black guy? And I think, you know, I think then festivals were more about, let's go and hang out and maybe, you know, have a bit of a smoke, have a few drinks, and enjoy the day, you know. And you see the crowd, and they're sat there, and they're wandering about, and there's Hendrix on stage playing, you know, as always, fantastic and singing great. And the crowd are just, it's a nice day out in the sunshine. So I'm sure now that there must be maybe like a million people back in Florida that say, I was there that day.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
One of those concerts where everybody was at, but, you know, really? Was there that many people there? But it was, it's just great to show that, you know, that's what it was like then. You know, you turned up and you might not know, because, you know, we got to think, you know, in 68, Hendrix didn't get a lot of press, and that Monterey film came out after the Miami Pop Festival.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, like a lot of that audience, they wouldn't have seen Hendrix before.
Yes.
You know, he was just this, you know, they've heard him on the radio, they wouldn't have seen him on television. You know, they might have saw pictures in the music press, maybe in, you know, like, you know, Rolling Stone or something. But it was like, who was this guy? I mean, they've heard the records, and then suddenly, you know, Hendrix walks out on stage wearing that white shirt and that hat, and it's like, okay, so there's a black guy on stage. Who is it? You know, that was just the way it was. But, you know, by the time it got to, you know, the Woodstock Festival, by then, you know, people knew who Hendrix was, and the Monterey film had came out. Even though that film, you know, it wasn't a big success. You know, Monterey Pop wasn't a big success. Woodstock was a big success. So I think, you know, with Hendrix, it was very much word of mouth, and he did tour a lot, and he played a lot of festivals. And as you say, you know, that concert in Florida was such an important time for Jimmy and for the band. Because I think, you know, you look at Monterey, you know, in 67, there's a slight sort of, like, you know, nervousness there in the crowd.
Yes.
It's like, who is this guy? By the time you get to sort of Woodstock, it's a different band. You know, you've broken up, you know, the experience.
That's
but you
great.
See him, you know, in Miami, in Florida, in 68. And I think that was, Hendrix was at the peak of his powers then. You know, he hadn't become jaded by the whole touring thing and having to play with his teeth, play behind his back, etc. And it's just, you know, I'm so pleased that he played in the daylight, because if he played at nighttime, you know, there's a lot of footage of Hendrix playing at nighttime, and it looks dark. But the great thing about that concert was it's in the daylight, it was a sunny day, which, you know, filming on film cameras, the sunshine just makes it look better, you know, it gives it a much, gives it a happier feeling. And like you say, you know, you see the audience sat there in their T-shirts and their shorts and, you know,
Ray-Ban
it's great,
glasses,
it's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, Bob Smeaton, thank you once again for sharing your information and this wonderful documentary with us today.
Thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. We did as well.
Take care.
For more information, visit jimihendrix.com. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Arts Beat.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine and the online publication Jazz and Blues Florida. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue here on WLRN and WKWM in just a moment.
You can help.
Live back and groove.